Well, we'll go ahead and get started this morning. Mike has informed me that we've got one of our furnaces not working, so it will warm up. It's just going to take a little longer. So in case you're curious what 57 degrees feels like, this is it. So if you need to move around, go ahead and do that. Let's go ahead and get started. Maverick, would you lead us in an opening prayer, please?
Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for allowing all of us to be able to come together, to meet with one another. Please be with us as we open your word. Help us to be encouraged and to learn from it and to be able to apply it in our lives. Please be with us as we leave here to take the lessons that we've taught and to use it to further your glory. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Maverick. So we had, I'm a little over halfway through our two-month study, and I had told you when we started we were going to break that up into various lessons, various topics, and we've done that. We had just finished 2 weeks of studying the about the song that I had chosen, Blessed Be the Tithe. And I thought that that study was a good lead-in to this next topic. And this next topic that we're going to talk about, I don't know that we'll get it done today, is drifting. And I thought it was really good for us to first cover the tie that binds us, because who better to know or to understand us than the ones who we are members to? If you remember last week, we talked about the tie that binds us together is very unique. It's a unique tie. It's something different than anything we will ever experience. You have maybe some very, very close friends out in this world. You have some really, really close co-workers, maybe you're close to, but it's not the same tie. And so we talked about what is that tie? How is that tie different? And what that song, Blessed Be the Tie, really is talking about. Well, so think about that today as we talk about drifting, because, and I'll use Eric as an example. He's close. I've been picking on him for the last 2 weeks. But if I know Eric very well, and we are members to one another, because we talked about how we are members to each other. It's not like being a member at a golf course. We talked about that. Or a member to a club. We're members to one another. If I'm a member to Eric, I know Eric. I understand what he likes, what he wants to do, what his goals and aspirations are, and he knows mine. He should know me as well or better than anyone else. So, leading into our topic today of drifting, if he sees me drifting or getting off course, guess what? He should love me enough to be able to easily come to me to say, hey, Clayton, what's going on? Poke me. Urge me to go in the right direction. Ask me questions. You don't seem to be yourself. What's going on? So, be thinking about those things as we talk about this topic today, because this should be something we are all on the lookout for each other for. As members to one another, we should care, we should be connected, and we should see these little nuances in each other where we can help them so that we avoid drifting. All right, so there's our lead-in. One of the things that I spent a little time doing is just reading about tragedies. This sounds a little weird, but reading about tragedies of people who were drifting. Reading about boats who got too close to a dam and they drifted over the dam. Reading about, and we'll get into this, but people doing silly things, taking selfies when they were way too close to danger and they just didn't know it. They didn't see it. And either plunging to their death. There's a someone who wrote an article, Billy Norris was his name, and he wrote this article about drifting, and I'll spare you most of the details, but There was two young men, and I'm certain this has happened probably more than we would care to talk about, but they were fishing near a dam, and they thought they had anchored, and they were very into their fishing, right, as we can do. We can get very into what's going on, and they were catching fish, and they didn't realize this was their hometown, and they had fished here numerous times. So they knew it well. They knew the current. They felt like they knew what they needed to know, and they thought their anchor would hold. They were not paying attention to the fact that they were drifting closer and closer to this dam. Well, in fine fashion, as you would guess the story would go, by the time they realized they were too close for comfort and tried to fire up the motor, it didn't work. And the current sucked them over, and they died. And there were people that had been noticing over the day, the guy that wrote the article or the story was talking about how we from afar noticed they were just getting closer and closer. And he said, why didn't they recognize that? Why didn't they see what was going on? Well, it was very slow, and they were very into what they were doing, and they were preoccupied, and before they knew it, they were dead. I thought that story was really important and fitting for us to just think about, because the bystanders who were watching this happen felt like, how can they not see this? But no one was sounding a foghorn or going over to them, because they're thinking, well, surely they know what they're doing. They've been sitting out here all day long, right? No different than we as Christians who might be slowly gravitating towards something that we shouldn't be, right? So my opening remarks are, drifting is dangerous, and it's extremely dangerous in our physical lives, but it's, I believe, even more in our spiritual lives. So I have five passages, and for those who like to take notes, I have a chock full today of passages for us to consider, so be prepared. But these next five passages, I believe, are the basis for why I wanted to discuss this, why I thought it was really important for us to consider the dangers of drifting along. In Hebrews, we find warnings about drifting. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Give a more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. All these things that they had been talking about, preaching about, learning about, give heed to those things, lest they drift away. It is possible to drift away from our salvation. I think this is important. We can certainly, in spite of what others may think or try to teach, we can certainly neglect our salvation. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, and all this is in Hebrews. All five of these verses are warnings for us. Hebrews 2 and 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? How shall we escape if we neglect a great salvation? No different than those people did not, those two men that were fishing did not escape going over. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, we learn that we can depart from God. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Beware. Beware of an unbelieving or departing from the living God. It is very, very possible for us to depart from Him. We can drift to the point where we fall away from Him, and it becomes impossible for repentance. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put Him to open shame. I don't think we sometimes consider or take it serious enough to realize it is impossible. If you've been enlightened at one time, and I know there's been many studies about this word impossible and this discussion about it being impossible. If you've tasted the heavenly gift and you've been partakers of the Holy Spirit, there is the ability to fall away. I think some feel that is impossible, but it is. We read it, we understand it, and we can see that it's a problem. There is a way to reach a point where the sacrifice of Christ is no longer available. In Hebrews, continuing Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 27. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. You can get to a point where you willfully are sinning and you get to the point where you are so hardened that you don't realize it. No different than this gradual floating or drifting that I talked about to open up things. So, if anything, you get anything from this study today, it is the danger of drifting is extremely real. There was, when I was looking at stories, there was an actual video of, and they didn't show the end of the video, thank goodness, but an actual video of these individuals in India. I was reading about, I guess India has more deaths, who knows how accurate, but more deaths through selfies than any other place. And they've got these guys, girls, standing on building tops, standing on mountaintops, in boats near these dams, and they're videotaping or taking selfies. And now in India, they have signs everywhere. And I've got coworkers, and they validated this for me, that say no selfies in this area. It's too dangerous, right? And you think, well, that's silly. But it's near trains, depots. It's near these dams. It's near these skyscrapers. But no selfies. Well, why? Well, they just continue to... They were experiencing so many deaths. But anyway, there are eight friends, and they're in this boat, and they have manually rowed out into this area, and they were videotaping themselves and how they were happy, excited how close they were to this dam. Look at the water in the back. And they're all going crazy about how cool this was. Well, they died. And it just made me realize that I don't think that those eight people thought it was possible that they would die, but they did. And that was something that for me was the wake-up call for us to study this. So I'll pause for a second. Anybody have any comments about those first five verses before we get into things I think we should know about drifting?
In the workplace, I've heard and used the term death by a thousand paper cuts.
That's right. Yeah.
And I feel like that's a similar deal, is that, you know, it's a little painful, but not, you know, it's not a mortal wound or anything. It's just this constant barrage. And it reminded me, I used a quote in a sermon, it's been a long time ago, but I looked it up here. It's a C.S. Lewis quote. It said, "The safest road to hell is the gradual one.
Yeah.
The gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts."
Good.
And I think about your comment about the tide of mind. It's hard to sometimes recognize these incremental steps that people are wandering farther and farther away from the fold. And I think Satan is all about keeping us from heaven, keeping us from the Lord. But it's not these major mortal wounds that he inflicts. It's these small things where nobody even realizes what's happened until they look back and it's too late.
Yeah. Yep. Totally agree. I think you have said it well, what I tried to say in my opening, and that is that it's small, incremental. It takes maybe years to get there, and before we realize it, you've been sucked in too deep. Yeah, Jay.
I don't want to make this sound too dramatic.
Okay.
Waving, there were a few.
Yeah.
They were not waving for danger. play it like, let's see what happens. And that's what the world will do to you.
Sure.
Now, you talk about the closeness of you and Eric. There'll be people in the world that will just smile and wave.
That's right.
As you travel that road to hell.
That's, yeah.
And so that's quite a responsibility for us to take note.
Yeah.
And be more watchful.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think, take it a step further. They may not be smiling and waving. They may be encouraging. They may be pushing. Because, remember, they don't have the same goals as you and I. They don't care. They're not thinking about eternal life like we are. Ben.
Jay's comment reminded me of what God said to Ezekiel. Remember what Ezekiel's obligation was? God told him he was a watchman, right? And he had an obligation to warn people of their sin. And if they didn't, he would be held accountable for not warning them.
Yeah. Yeah. So, do we have that same accountability to one another? When I said we're members to one another, and I know for those of you who are gone or weren't here last week, you wouldn't know that. But we are members to one another. I'm accountable and should be and should feel accountable for Ben and Ben for me. And we shouldn't be like those people that Jay references that just kind of watched and waved. But you take ownership of going to that person out of love and care and stop them before the drifting is way too far.
Maybe a barometer. You know, we're not able to pick up the subtle things, you know, day by day or week by week or month by month. Maybe it's we just have to look after a period of a year or 5 years and say, is that person any different today than they were when they started their Christian life? And if they're no different, then they haven't made any changes. Maybe that they just stayed the course. That's not even good enough.
Yep.
I mean, we've got to be a better Christian 5 years down the road. And so if we look at our lives and say there's nothing different, then something's wrong.
Good point. And we're going to get to, so one of the things we're going to talk about is things we should know about drifting so that we can recognize those signs. And I think that as we talk about the signs of drifting, I was also thinking, Eric, about, and I came to this point in my topic, we're right now writing quarterly reviews. I don't know, I've talked about this before, but I just can't stand writing quarterly reviews. And the more people you get, the more reviews you write, and the more tedious and painful it becomes. But what's worse than a quarterly review? The annual review. And so for those of you who have written annual reviews on your people, or you've had to write one on yourself, that's the new thing, so write your own review and then let someone okay and approve it. They're painful, but to Eric's point, I think they're really critical for us as Christians. You know, there are some really beneficial things for businesses to review their quarterly earnings, review where they were last quarter to now, because sometimes you can't see it. You can't see the forest for the trees. You can't see maybe what's gone on. Or you can't go back to say, what did I used to do last year that I'm not doing this year? And we're going to get into some of those things. Because I'm going to challenge all of you. My first question for page two here is, are you drifting? We need to be asking ourselves, are you drifting? Are you drifting along? And then the next question is, are you sure? Do you really know if you're not drifting? And I'm going to give you some things to think about, whether to recognize, am I drifting or not? So I think there's some things to consider. So here's some things I think we need to know about drifting. The first thing is, drifting requires no effort. None. And that's what's kind of dangerous about drifting, because it's just kind of nice. You get to just drift along. I'll use an example of something I think will hit home to all of us. Have you just drifted along with your health or maybe what you eat? Or the next thing you know, you put on a little bit of weight and you're like, oh man, things are a little tight. It's easy to just drift along and just eat a bad meal here or there and, well, I'm not working out as much, big deal. I'll get it next week. And then the pants are a little tight, right? And we all kind of smile because we've all been there. I'm using something I feel certain that we've all done. And then you go, wow, I need to probably eat a little less. I probably should work out. But that didn't happen overnight that your pants got a little tight. It took a little time, but it's easy. I mean, it's easy to just go out and eat what you want to eat and not really worry about working out. That's easy, right? Drifting requires no effort. That Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, we must give a more earnest heed. We must earnestly be giving heed to those things. I think the second thing is it's an unconscious process. It's possible to drift and be completely unaware. So it doesn't require anything, and you can be completely unaware, just like those in the boat. You know, Eric was just talking about, I think it was this summer, you went on vacation, and did you help a young boy or a child that was sucked out by an undercurrent? Well, that undercurrent just slowly, well, sometimes not so slow, but slowly sucks you out, and you don't realize it. And that family didn't realize, but the family probably didn't realize their kid was sucked out until Eric went up to get him. You can be completely unaware of what's happening or what got you to this point, but you're there. You know, I was reading, and Matt can probably tell me this, but about the gravitational pull of, like, in planes and drifting that can happen in planes, and you've drifted slightly off course. It just happens. The same is true for us spiritually, is we can be drifting along and drift off course and drift completely away. For those who are visiting, think about your home congregation and think about someone that you knew that just drifted off course. Are they going to church anymore? I don't know. I remember it's been years ago, but Dave Hartman, we were just visiting, and Dave had given a sermon, and he used the whiteboard, and he actually put family names on the whiteboard who were no longer going to the church. They were no longer in the church. And then when that father or whoever had quit going, what happened to that entire family tree? It was pretty eye-opening, but it's amazing when a leader or a family person or whoever the, you know, I was thinking about Somersville, you know. Tad and I talk about Somersville all the time. And because I've got some dear friends, and some of you have some dear friends in Somersville, but a lot of very, very strong women in the church there. But if one, maybe one person, just decides to not stay, what will happen? We're no different. And I say we, those who I'm talking to today, our own congregation, our own families, are no different. And so we have to make sure that we're not gradually drifting. The other thing, the other law, I'm going to call it, about this drifting is you never drift upstream or against the tide, right? It doesn't require anything, no effort. It can happen unconsciously, but you're never going to drift upstream or up the tide. Faithfulness to the Lord is like rowing upstream. You must constantly be adding to your faith. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence." How diligent are you right now into making sure you don't drift? "Add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge," and on it goes. How diligent are you to ensure that you're not drifting? We have to continue to grow. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory for now, both now and forever. Amen." Grow. Back to Eric's point. We're going to get to this, but I will tell you, I do not believe as Christians we can just stay constant. You're either growing or you're going backwards. I think that's how it works. The moment we stop growing, we're going backwards, or we are drifting downwards. Yeah, Mike.
And along with that, you said it's drifting takes no effort, and I think that's one of the reasons that God designed the church to be mutually edified. Everyone needs to work.
Yeah.
And if you don't work, you're not going to make it.
Yeah.
That's just the bottom line.
Yeah.
And you know, when you talk about we can lose our salvation, if you think back, or if you have a list, or sit down and think about it, of all the people that you know that have been baptized into the church, how many and are still alive?
Yeah,
how many of them are still in the church?
Yeah.
You know, the faithful are fewer than those who initially come.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a work that we have to do.
For sure. And that's a good segue. I had my notes here. How many have been to Alley Springs? Just by show of hands, I'm curious. Oh, we got 80%. Yeah, Jack's Fork, Alley Springs, that area. Have you ever jumped in to swim there? Well, number one, it's freezing. Dwayne says yes. Many times, probably, right? But even in its most gentle-looking area, because I know there's an area we like to go swim when we go to the camp out, and you think, oh, it just looks so... like, no, the water's not even really moving. And you go in there, and you jump in, and the next thing you know, you bob up, and you're way down the river. And it's amazing how those currents work. Those currents are just like in our life, right? You maybe do something for the first time, or you're with someone for the first time, or you've done something, and next thing you know, it pulls you away, and you find you're way over here. Yeah, Dwayne.
Yeah, I've got a story.
Perfect. Good.
A sports story.
Yeah.
When I was a young man, Herb Robinson and Charles Robinson were two of my buddies all the time, and our dads fished together.
Uh-huh.
We were down on the Jack's Fork at the fish trap, and the water was up. It was really rolling. It was muddy, and us boys would usually play on the bank, and there was a muddy bank there. And we got a little careless, and the youngest one, Herb, who just passed away last month.
Okay.
He slipped and went right down into the water, into that old muddy water, and I jumped down. There was a tree and brush on the bank. I grabbed a hold of one and was able to reach out and get him, bring him in. But that was carelessness.
Yeah.
And that's another good word for drifting.
Yeah.
And is being careless.
Yeah, good point.
Now, there's people who just leave because they want to.
Yeah.
That's not drifting necessarily. They could have been drifting, but some people just make the determination, I don't want religion. I'm tired of religion.
Yeah.
Drifting, I think, is more dangerous, really, though, because, like you say, we sometimes don't think about it.
Yeah.
Unless somebody can grab us by the hand.
Right, and I think that goes back to this tie, right? So we all have to be prepared to grab one another by the arm, because it is real. It's a real danger. It can happen. And instead of waving, like Jay points out, we need to be grabbing and pulling in. Good point. The speed, so one of my other points here about drifting, things we should know about it, is the speed downstream increases. And it's just like I was talking about with being an alley. I've jumped in before, and you think, well, I'll just come out right here on this little gravel bar. And you're 50 yards downstream. It just picks up and it goes faster and faster. The dangers increase with the speed that we drift. You know, the individuals, some who have, because as I was reading countless stories, some who have survived talk about the noise of the falls that they heard right before maybe someone caught them. And to your point, you know, you said you got dangerously close. I'm sure if you could go back in your head as you heard the falls, sometimes that's just, it's too late when we hear and see the real danger. The speed at which it increased put us in a spot where we couldn't be saved. Another point is that we're dangerous to others. I don't know if you've thought about that, but as brothers and sisters, as members to one another, when we drift, we're dangerous to others. We're dangerous. I'm dangerous to Eric if I'm drifting along, because what do I want to do? I want Eric to drift with me. Well, you know, Clayton, I really need to be working on my lesson. Oh, come on over. We got time. We can go play golf. No, I really need to be working on my lesson. No, we got time. Come on. And I'm dangerous to Eric because I can encourage him to drift along with me. Why? I don't want to drift alone. It's not very fun. I want someone else to do that with me. So we have to be careful. And I would say this, as members to one another, I look out in the audience, we have lots of spouses, right? We're accountable to each other as a spouse, I should be looking at Amy. We're accountable to each other as a spouse, not over here. Eric is a different deal. But I'm accountable to Amy. Amy's accountable to me to help us to not drift. As parents, to ensure that our kids aren't drifting or drifting too far. Maybe I think that it's okay that, and we've all had these discussions, that Kinsey goes to whatever it is. And Amy says, I don't think that's okay. Well, why? And she tells me from her perspective, and I go, good point. Kinsey's not going to whatever. And I'm just using something simple, but for those of you who have young kids today, you've either had this discussion today, but I promise you, you'll have them as your kids get older. For those of you who your kids have moved on, you hope that your spouse helped talk through those scenarios so that you didn't allow one another to drift on something you shouldn't drift on, or allow a kid to go into uncharted waters. A couple of verses that I have here is, and these are really about taking advantage of golden opportunities with your kids, right? Ephesians 6 and 4, "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Your spouse should maybe remind you, as if a father, you've done this. Maybe you provoked your kids, and your spouse sees that and says privately, "Hey, I'm not sure that that was handled appropriately," or vice versa, right? We help each other. "Many are tossed to and fro and carried around by the winds or the doctrine of today or whatever the flavor of the month is." Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness and the deceitful plotting. This goes back to what Eric said about Satan. He's good. He's good. And if we're not careful, we can allow him to get the best of us, our spouse, our kids, or our brothers and sisters. So we have to really, really be careful so that it doesn't end in shipwreck. A boat will drift away or crash on the rocks or on the falls, or spiritually, through our own neglect, we can put ourselves in a point where we can't escape punishment. Hebrews chapter 2, 1 through 3. We've read it, but I don't know that I read 2 and 3 yet. It says, "For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him?" The danger of drifting is real, and there is warning against it. And so, again, in the middle of this, I ask you, when you think about yourself in your life, are you drifting? Can you think back to a time in your life you did drift? Maybe that's easier. Let's say you're 45 years old, someone similar to me. Can you look back at a time where you did drift? And you had to snap back in? So I'm going to introduce this idea, and I want you thinking about this. Maybe today I'll use the last 5 minutes, but what do you feel are common signs of drifting? If we were just to name a few as Christians, what do you think are some common signs? I've got 4 or 5, but what do you think is a common sign?
Disinterest.
Disinterest, okay? Disinterest in what? In the Lord, in the church, okay? What else? It's a good one. I've got it. I just said it in a little different way. Okay, all right, very good. Conforming to the world, wanting to be in the world, do the things of the world. Okay, I've got that one named. I said increasing thrill over the things in the world. Okay, what else? Here's some of the things I said, and I think they probably can all be summed up in those two ways. But I said diminishing desire to study God's Word. Diminishing desire to study God's Word. So, going back to maybe some of the things that we've talked about, or Eric, or that we've, you know, this quarterly or annual review. What does your graph look like? Does your graph go from the lower left to the upper right? Are you wanting to study God's Word more? Or do you really not enjoy it? Or you don't take the time to read and study? You know, I have noticed over the years that I found it difficult to take the time to read the Bible. And I caught that in myself. And I've enjoyed figuring out new ways to either read the Bible, or Dwayne's got his Bible reading, VRB, I always want to say VRBO. It's not VR. Yeah, there you are, BBR. I love that. I've got a 35-minute drive to work, and I can listen to just about every one of those on my drive. It's perfect. I've talked to you about listening to the Bible on through my phone, letting someone else read to me while I'm on my drive. But there are many ways that we can get into the Word. Do you desire it more and more? Are you trying to spend more time in it? Or have you found yourself spending less? And we're going to get into that. Diminishing desire to be with God's people. Do you want to be with those who you're members to or with? Or less time? Do you want to spend more time with your brothers and sisters? Or, not so much. I'd rather just be at home or spend it with friends in the world or co-workers. Diminishing desire to share the gospel. How eager are you to share the gospel with others? To tell them the good news? Do you have that desire? Or is it, I have an opportunity, but I didn't really take it. And then the last one that we're going to cover and we're going to get into was this increasing thrill over the things of the world. What Drew said. Am I finding things of the world way more fun and exciting and worth my time than I am with spending it with you all, or in studying, or in telling somebody else about the Word?
Perhaps another way to look at it, or an indication or validation of it, is I think about the fruit of the Spirit. So if we're living and growing the way that we should, there should be evidence or proof in our life that we are advancing in maturity.
Right.
And if you don't produce any better love, joy, peace, long-suffering, if you don't have those fruits, then something's wrong.
Well, and what's said about a tree or a limb or something that's not producing? Cut it off, right? So it's a good point. Yeah. How long would you allow a tree to set in your yard? It's supposed to be putting apples or peaches or cherries or whatever on it, and it does nothing before you just get rid of it. That's what Christ will do with us. Okay. What other? In the last minute, while I ring the bell, any other signs that that we think that we can see of drifting? Yeah, Matt.
Excuses.
Sure.
But then if you really examine, did I really have to do that? Then I kind of have to catch that myself and really think about it. Is it, what do I really want to do here?
Yeah.
It has to be done. Sometimes it's unavoidable.
Yep.
We all get that, and sometimes that happens. But if you find yourself making excuses, then you have to check yourself and say, okay, where really is my part? But because that, to me, is sometimes the start of the slippery slope. And then before you know it, you can be a lot further removed than where you want to be.
Yeah, what's our desire, right? So, I mean, even if you just use that with church attendance, we can do it with reading the Bible, church attendance. Is your desire really to be here when the doors are open, or is it, well, I've got other things I could be doing? And they're important, and like you say, and then you made an excuse.
Yeah, the other thing you mentioned, reviews too, so what I think there's just, we just have a tendency as humans to have a problem sharing our thoughts with one another on
right.
how people can do better, because we're thinking, okay, well, who am I to judge?
Right.
Or, well, I have my own things I need to work on. But if we really care about one another,
yeah,
we will share. So that's the phrase I use at work, is if you care, you will share.
Yeah.
And if you don't care, then you're going to sit on it and
yeah.
try to still be a good quote-unquote friend. But if you really care about someone, you'll ask them, hey, what's happening?
Back to Dwayne's point, if you care, you will grab a twig and grab them and pull them in.
Right.
Okay, good. We'll take a short 5-minute recess break, and then we'll get started. Thanks for your comments.